Our gospel this evening is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. This Sunday, we've gotten to see a glimpse of the Ghost of Christmas presentation to Scrooge. And I find it to be a very interesting one. You know, we've been on a journey here with Scrooge. Scrooge began being an old sinner that didn't even know the depths of his sin. He wasn't even aware of his own sinfulness. He believed himself to be doing just fine. A good man of business, he thought of himself as, in the words that he used with Marley. And he came to know when the Ghost of Christmas Past visited him that he had certain things in his past that had turned him down the wrong road. He'd been abandoned and he had started building walls around the rest of the world. At one point, Belle, his one-time fiancé, says, "You fear the world too much." Scrooge has started to protect himself against the rejection and the abandonment that he felt as a youth by amassing money, amassing what he thought would give him comfort. And he's realized that in that past, he was full of regret. He was full of regret for the things that he hadn't done. He was full of regret for the things that he should have done. He was full of regret for not having opened himself up to life. He was so afraid of the world that he closed himself off to the world. Now today, Scrooge is visited by the Ghost of Christmas Present. And we see the Cratchit family, and we see all of these places around out in the countryside. But I'd like to focus just for a moment on just the very fact that Scrooge needs the Ghost of Christmas Present to come around. See, once again, Scrooge wasn't able to see beyond the walls of his counting house. He wasn't able to see beyond his own little life. He assumed that everyone else was in some ways just as miserable as him, that his life was just the way that life was. And sometimes I think I've been in that situation before. And it reminded me of a lab that I did one time when I was a young teacher in Pequot Lakes. And the first time that I ever used the Bunsen burners, remember Bunsen burners? Okay, so I had a lab, and I had all of my lab, I meticulously set up the lab so that every lab station had exactly what it needed. And of course, these are eighth graders I'm working with. So I know some eighth graders are excellent students, but you know, every now and then, there's an eighth grader that doesn't follow directions. Anyway, I set up each lab station meticulously, and I had the Bunsen burner there, and it was connected to the gas jet, and I had the lighter. Remember those click lighters that you use to light Bunsen burners? And I'm standing up in the front, and one lab group lights a Bunsen burner. And I said, don't light the Bunsen burner. And pretty soon somebody else is lighting a Bunsen burner, right? And I go over to the first group and I say, put your Bunsen burner out. And what do they say to me? Well, why do they get to use their Bunsen burner? I said, they don't get to use their Bunsen burner. And I ran over there to that group and I had them put out theirs and they said, oh, they got to use theirs. See, every group had this idea that somehow it was okay to light the Bunsen burners, right? They really didn't see the big picture of that it wasn't time to light the Bunsen burners yet. They envisioned that my telling them, put out your Bunsen burner, was me picking on them, me putting them down, that somehow I was depriving them of this amazing right to use their Bunsen burner. Sometimes we have this idea that, you know, our life is so weighed down by things, and all of these horrible things happen to us. And sometimes that's kind of like those kids using their Bunsen burners. Or sometimes it's kind of like Scrooge, where he hasn't really looked beyond the walls of his counting house. He hasn't looked beyond his own life to realize that there are tragedies, that there are circumstances, that there are things that have happened to other people around him that in some ways perhaps are greater tragedies than his own. Perhaps greater tragedies than having been abandoned as a child. Perhaps greater tragedies than Belle having not married him. Perhaps greater tragedies than him not having found perfect happiness in his own life. So the Spirit transports him into London. And, you know, London was a pretty wretched, horrible-looking place in Victorian England. It was crowded. It was full of disease. The sewer systems didn't work very well. There was a lot of poverty in London. And he brings Scrooge to the home of the Cratchits. Now, Scrooge every day had sat in the same building as Bob Cratchit. And he'd never gotten to know Bob Cratchit. He'd never gotten to know the ins and outs of Bob's life. He didn't know about Bob's wife and about Bob's children. He didn't know about Bob's crippled son, Tiny Tim. He says to Spirit, Spirit, I didn't know. And that made me wonder, how many times do I pass someone in the hall at school, in the same building that I teach at every morning, or see someone here in Tofty behind a cash register or at a restaurant, and I have every opportunity to say, how you doing? Hey, tell me about yourself. And I don't. And I don't know the ins and outs of the lives of the people that I live amongst so that I can share those lives, so that I can interact with them, so that they can maybe share their burdens with me and I can share something that maybe I have that maybe would be helpful. And I wondered how many times do I miss the opportunities that Scrooge missed every day to find out a little bit more about Bob Cratchit. And then we get this really fun picture of the Cratchit family. The Cratchit family sitting down to a meal and Martha coming in and hiding for a little bit, playing sort of a game with her dad. Her dad comes in carrying Tiny Tim, and Tiny Tim's been to church, and the Bob says, you know, it was neat how he was in church, and he said he told me after coming home that it was good for the people there at church to see him, because perhaps then they would remember who it was that made the lame to walk and the blind to see, who it was that came at Christmas time. This little family is a picture of what we ought to be as a church. We ought to be the church that even when we're in the midst of trials and tribulations, even when we have problems of our own in our own lives, in our own homes, that together we're there celebrating we come together to celebrate a greater joy, to lift each other up, to wrap our arms around each other to say, we're here for you, man. Because that's what the Cratchit family is a picture of. It's interesting to me that one of the reasons why Charles Dickens chose the name Cratchit for Bob Cratchit is because Cratchit was sort of the Cockney way of saying creche, the cratchit that you might have in front of your house. Remember, a creche is a manger scene. It's where you've seen the manger scenes, the wise men, the wise guys on the one side and the shepherds on the other side, and Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in the middle. The Cratchit family is supposed to be a picture of that. It's supposed to be a picture of everyone gathered around, not necessarily a goose, but gathered around the Christ child. Gathered there to say, we're here for each other. We love each other. We're here to celebrate something bigger than ourselves. Scrooge looks at that scene and he sees something for the first time. As he's brought finally to repentance when the Spirit reflects back at him his own words. Luther understood the law to be a reflection, something that reflects back at us. In the law, we ought to see our own sinfulness. And that's not just to put us down. That's not just to make us feel small. It's to point us to the Savior. It's to point us to a need that we have. It's to point us to the fact that in and of ourselves, we're not going to be able to always follow along the right road. We're not going to always be able to hit the center of the bullseye. We're going to fall off the path. We're going to miss the mark. We need the Savior to live in the way that we're called to live, to be truly human. And so when Scrooge is shown the Cratchit family, and then he sees Tiny Tim for the first time, and the Spirit repeats back to him, well, then they'd better die then and decrease the surplus population. That's like us seeing ourselves in the law. And Scrooge is finally brought to repentance. He's brought to repentance for the man that he was. We're called every day to repentance. Not so that we can feel miserable about ourselves, but so that Christ can save us and redeem us. So that we can be given new life in him. So that we're now freed up to be that family that we're called to be. Finally, this stave reveals ignorance and want. And I struggled with this scene for a long time. In fact, I contemplated just cutting that part of the scene out because I thought, well, this is all sort of in Dickens' day. It was sort of calling to attention the horribleness of child labor in Victorian England, and maybe that's not quite so relevant today. On the covers of your bulletins, I just wanted to point this out. You know, about 50% of Africans today don't have access to clean water. Tiny Tim's disease, we don't know for sure what it was. Of course, Tiny Tim is a fictitious character. But London was full of crippled children. And today, epidemiologists have looked back at Dickensian London, at Victorian London, and said, why were all those children crippled? And one possible reason is tuberculosis. Another possible reason is some other waterborne or sanitary-based diseases. But one that I thought was really astounding when I read this was rickets. Rickets. And rickets is totally curable just by having a good diet. The children of London were crippled because they didn't eat well, because their food was so terrible. One of the most curable diseases on the planet is rickets. Now, many of the people in Africa today, right now, 3.4 million people die every year from water-related diseases because they don't have access to clean water. 4,000 children die each day as a result of diseases caused by water that isn't healthy. That's an awful lot of people. See, today our world isn't too much different than the London of Victorian England. There's an awful lot of people out there that are our neighbors. The gospel today, Jesus reminded the sheep, that's us, right? We're the sheep. Reminded the sheep, this is what I expect of you. Go out there and feed the hungry and take care of those that need clothing. give the people that are thirsty some clean water. That's why we're doing this health kit here as a congregation. We're not doing it just because we can't figure out what else to do with our time or our money. We're doing it because this is what we're called to do as the people of God. This is what we're called to do, is not just to look within ourselves, not just to look at our own family and say, we love you, we support you, we're going to be each other's stretcher bearers within the walls of this church, but those people out there, well, they're on their own, they're the surplus population. Instead, we're called to see Christ at the center of Christmas and then turn outwards and share that love with the rest of the world, to provide those people who are struggling with the epidemic of AIDS in Africa with just a bit of love, with just a bit of hope for their eternity. Someone out there really cared enough to give them a clean towel and some Band-Aids and a bar of soap. That's why we're doing it. And of course, this is what it means to wait for the Christ child. We wait for Jesus to come every year. Uh-oh. We wait for Christ to come every year. And every year, he comes anew to us at Christmas to remind us that we are still waiting. We are still waiting for the heavens to open and Christ to return. But while we wait, we are called to be about his business. Amen.